Over the years, I learned about tithing when I was a young Christian, and I mean, everything they brought out, it was like, oh, okay. I mean, it's in the Bible. They showed me, it was like, all right, start doing it. And there have been times when we have been, well, as a single guy, I was out of money. In fact, I was living with the pastor and his family. And, I mean, I didn't have two nickels to rub together. I was broke, and I just went out in my van. I said, Lord, I said, I don't have anything. I said, I don't know what to do. But I'd always tithe, even when it was tight. It was like, okay, the 10% was first off, and we're going to look at that and see it. But just kind of sharing testimony here that while I was in the van praying, the mailman came, and there was a check for me in the mail when I got in the house. I had no clue, but God did. I got laid off from American Steel, and we had two kids, and things got a little tight. I think that might be the only time I've ever been on food stamps, and you can't give your food stamps away because that's illegal, but nobody ever said about giving a tenth of your food away. And so the church had a food pantry, and so we gave a tenth of our groceries. I mean, what else could we do? And then I got a job that about killed me. If I worked 40 hours a week, I would have made $1.95 an hour, and I worked 80. So I have no idea how we paid the bills. I don't know. But we never lacked. We ate. And if I had to put it on paper, it wouldn't compute. I just don't know. I really do not know. But even in those hard times, top 10% went to the Lord because we wanted to honor Him. And I'm not saying that, okay, if you tithe, you're going to get money back. What I had the assurance of was that He is my provider. He will take care of me because I am honoring Him. He is going to honor me, however that's going to come about, that He would do that. So it's been an amazing journey, and to this day, I have confidence now that whatever happens financially, oh well. If we lose everything, He's still on top of it, and then He'll take us to wherever we need to go. So tithing is a much debated thing among Christians. Some people believe it was just for the Old Testament. Some people believe it's for us today. Some people don't believe in tithing, but they believe in giving. And I'm going to touch on that in the notes at the end. But we'll start in here. Tithing actually started before the Old Testament law. And so some people say, well, see, that was just part of the Old Covenant. Well, no, it started before the Old Covenant even came into effect. So in Genesis 14:18, Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. This is when Abraham had gone to recover Lot and his family, who had been taken captive and brought up to, I believe it was Damascus. And Abraham and his men went, and they conquered the kings, brought them all back. And as they're coming by Jerusalem, and that's what Salem represents, was actually Jerusalem. Melchizedek met them. He was a priest of the Most High God, and he blessed them and said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered your enemies into your hand. And he gave them tithes of all. And the king of Sodom said to him, Abraham, give me the persons and take goods to yourself. And Abraham said, no, I'm not going to do that, but just how about you take care of these young guys that came with me? But he gave him a tenth of everything. So here's Abraham tithing to this Melchizedek before there were any Levitical priests ever established. And in Hebrews 7:1, it says, "This Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. This Melchizedek, first by interpretation, is king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. Without father, without mother, without descent, no beginning of days, nor end of life, made like the Son of God, he abides a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils. And surely they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham." So the Levitical priests and the Levites took tithes out of their own brethren, because that's how it was set up under the law. But then in verse 6 it says, "But he whose descent is not counted from them, from Levi, received tithes from Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. And without all contradiction, the less, Abraham, is blessed of the better, Melchizedek. And here men that die receive tithes, but there he received them, of whom it's witness that he lives. And as I may so say, Levi also, who received tithes, paid tithes in Abraham," because Levi was not yet born, and so he was still in the loins of Abraham. And so it's just kind of showing that that whole family tree was submitted, in a sense, regarding this Melchizedek as a greater personage. And so Abraham gave one-tenth to him. Levi, representing the law, also paid tithes to Melchizedek informally, just because his ancestor did. And the tithe was given willingly, in honor, respect, and relationally, lesser blessing the greater. Should we, as Abraham did, pay tithes to new priest after the order of Melchizedek, Jesus? I think if it's good enough for Abraham, it's good enough for me. Because he's under the same priesthood. So here's another tithe before the law. Genesis 28:20. "Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God, and this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that you shall give me, I will surely give the tenth unto you." So he says he'll surely give a tenth to the Lord, and it's always from the increase. I was going through my notes. I got to take a look here. If I missed a page. Oh, no. Yeah, it's in there. Okay. There's some practical examples on that we'll cover about the increase. Because some people say, well, is it just a 10% of what I take home, my net? No, it's your increase, your gross. It's what your overall pay is. And you're going to find out, again, talking about money, because I'm not trying to get anybody in here to give money. I'm just teaching what the scriptures say. And I'm not embarrassed about that, because it's God's word. And in fact, the next verse is probably one of the clearest ones to me. that speaks that. But there's a scripture in Chronicles that's not in the notes that I'm going to turn to somewhere along in here, and we'll look at David's heart concerning this. And that's the heart that I want to impart. I mean, here's the teaching, but there's a heart that goes behind it that is not like, okay, I'm paying my tenth. Let's look at point B here. The tithe belongs to the Lord. Malachi 3:8. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, where have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there won't be room enough to receive it. He's the one that said that. And again, some people will say, well, if you give $100, you get $1,000 in return. That's garbage. Whatever you're given, he just says he'll pour out the windows of heaven. Sometimes that blessing comes in the fact that your car, which should have broken down 3 months ago, is still running, and you don't have money to do anything else with it. He just takes care of our needs. And so if that's the way it comes out, that's fine with me. I don't really care. All I know is I don't want to rob him. I just have a hard time picturing myself walking up with a gun saying, stick him up, buddy. That just doesn't work for me. But these people, the Israelites, were robbing him because they stopped paying their tithes. And he says, bring these things in so there be food in my house for the Levites. And he says, prove me herewith. If I won't open you the windows of heaven, pour out a blessing, that there's not room enough to receive it. So he's got a heart behind that. Leviticus 27:30, it says, and all the tithe of the land, whether seed of the land, fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It's holy to the Lord. If a man will at all redeem anything of his tithes, he shall add the fifth part to it, 20%. And concerning the tithe of the herd or of the flock, even of whatsoever passes under the rod, the tenth shall be holy to the Lord. He shall not search whether it's good or bad, and he shall not change it. If he change it at all, then both it and the change shall be holy. It won't be redeemed. It's better to pay the 20% than to just lose both of them. It's like, okay. The tithe belonged to the Lord. It's holy to him. If you redeemed your tithe, you had to pay 20% above the value of the tithe. That's not as bad as some of these payday loan things. Some of those go up to 700%. Yeah. God's got a good heart in this thing. Now, it says the tithe belongs to the Lord. So now let's look in 1 Chronicles 29, verse 11. It says, thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that's in the heaven and earth is yours. What's his? Everything. Yours is a kingdom, O Lord. You are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. And in your hand is power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of you, and of your own have we given you. For we are strangers before you and sojourners, as were our fathers. Our days on the earth are a shadow, and there's none abiding. So he's talking about donating for the house of God, and he says, we're not really doing a big thing when we're given, because everything we have is really yours. And that's a lesson I learned. I think I've given a testimony of my vehicles, my windshield. Yes. There was a freedom in that. Just, okay, God, that's your truck. Look what they did to your truck. Popping out the windshield. And it was actually humorous. I even had to preach that morning, which made it even worse. In the natural sense, it's like I could have been stressing, like, oh, no, what am I going to do? Ah. It's like, oh, God, look at your truck. But it's his. And I'll tell you what, that moment was a very freeing moment, and I think that's when this particular principle really took root. That, okay, I don't have any control over that stuff, and ultimately it's yours. So now we're going to look at why God gave a tithe to the Levites. In Numbers 18:20, and the Lord spoke to Aaron, you shall have no inheritance in their land, neither shall you have any part among them. I am your part and your inheritance among the children of Israel. Behold, I've given the children of Levi all the tenth in Israel for an inheritance, for their service which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. Neither must the children of Israel henceforth come near the tabernacle of the congregation, lest they bear sin and die. But the Levites shall do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. They shall bear their iniquity. It will be a statute forever throughout your generations that among the children of Israel they have no inheritance. But the tithes of the children of Israel, which they offer as a heave offering unto the Lord, I have given to the Levites to inherit. Therefore I said to them, among the children of Israel, they'll have no inheritance. Let me see, because I'm trying to... You know, when you take of the children of Israel tithes which I have given you from them for your inheritance, then you'll offer up a heave offering of a tenth part of the tithe. So the Levites received the tithe from the Israelites, and then they had to figure out, okay, here's 10%, and they gave it to the priest and his family. So even they were paying a tithe. I lost my place. And this, your heave offering shall be reckoned to you as though it was your increase, the corn of the threshing floor and the fullness of winepress. You'll offer a heave offering of the Lord of all your tithes that you receive from the children of Israel. You give it to Aaron the priest. Okay, it's basically just saying the same thing in the rest of it. So all the tenth in Israel was to be an inheritance of the Levites. They offered up one tenth, and it would be counted as their increase, and it was their reward for their service in the tabernacle. In 2 Chronicles 31:4, he commanded the people that dwelt in Jerusalem to give the portion of the priests and Levites, that they might be encouraged in the law of the Lord. You know, it's kind of hard to be encouraged if you have no inheritance, or you have no property, and you've got nothing to eat and nothing coming in. It's kind of hard to be encouraged at that point. So he was saying, you guys need to be giving them their portion so that they can be encouraged to continue doing the work that God called them to do. And as soon as the commandment came abroad, the children of Israel brought in abundance of first fruits of corn, wine, oil, honey, and all the increase of the field. And the tithe of all things brought they in abundantly. Oxen, sheep, and tithe the holy things which were consecrated to the Lord their God, and they laid them by heaps. So Hezekiah knew that the Levites needed their portion. Otherwise, they'd have to do something else to support themselves. And we're going to see a scripture in Nehemiah 13:10 where that happened. Reading the rest of this chapter will show you that they then had plenty to eat, and they set up a storage and distribution arrangement so that all the Levites and priests would be taken care of. So the tithe was taking care of the Levitical priesthood, the Aaronic priesthood, because God said, you're not getting any property. You're not going to have an inheritance like the other people. Now, they did have a certain pasture land for their flocks, but there was nothing really like a personal, this is my 100 acres, and I can grow whatever I want on it. They didn't have that. And so this was God's means of taking care of them. But again, the tithe was established before the Levitical priesthood. So you can't really say that it was part of the old covenant. In Nehemiah 10:35, and to bring the first fruits of our ground, the first fruits of all fruit of the trees, year by year unto the house of the Lord, firstborn of our sons, cattle, firstlings of our herds, flocks, unto the priests that minister in the house of our God, and that we should bring the first fruits of our dough, our offerings, and the fruit of all manner of trees, wine, oil, unto the priests of chambers of the house of our God, and the tithes of our ground unto the Levites, that the same Levites might have the tithes in all the villages of our tillage. And the Levites shall bring up the tithe of tithes to the house of God, to the chambers and the treasure house. So various offerings, tithes were brought for their inheritance, and they paid a tithe. I'm covering this because I was talking to Bethany earlier. I looked up everything on tithing because somebody challenged me that tithing was not for real, and they quoted some scripture, and I thought, you know what? I just need to look at every single one, put them all together, and how they shake out, that's what it is. And I actually learned some principles that tied things that had just been floating in my brain. I didn't know how they fit. I knew tithing was for real, but I didn't know how these other portions fit in. Got a couple more verses here, just in Nehemiah 12:44. They had people appointed over the tithes to be able to distribute them. Nehemiah 13:10, the Levites, they had stopped giving the Levites their portion because people weren't tithing. So they all fled to the fields, trying to do something to be able to eat. And then Nehemiah contended with the ruler and said, why is the house of God forsaken? I gathered them together, set them in their place, then brought all Judah the tithe of the corn, the new wine, and oil. And he set up the distribution. And then in verse 14 he prays, says, remember me, O my God, concerning this, and wipe not out my good deeds that I've done for the house of my God and for the offices thereof. When they aren't taken care of, they got to do something else, and then the ministry of God is neglected. And that's why God was called it robbing him. And point D here is a thing that I found out, because I read these scriptures before, and it talked about a eating a tithe with the poor and the widows. I thought, well, wait a minute. The tithe was given to the Levites. So how can I be over here eating my tithe? with the poor, the stranger. I thought, I just don't see this. There was actually a second and maybe even a third tithe. So they had 100% and they gave 10. So out of the 90% they had left, they gave another 10th, and what was left, they gave another 10th. You say, wow, my paycheck's getting small. Again, I'm not saying that we have these things set up with us. But I do know that when you set your heart on the things of God, and your heart is not on your money, but it's on the kingdom of God, and you begin, even in a small way, to set your heart up to be able to give, God will honor what you're doing. He doesn't minimize, oh man, that guy's only setting $5 a month aside for extra giving besides what he... No, he looks at that and he sees the heart. He says, I'm going to see what he does if he gets a pay raise. And you know, if you have the right heart, you'll work that out where it doesn't all just come back to you. But if your heart is to give, you either find a way to put that back into the ministry that you're doing, giving, and you can change from $5 a month to giving hundreds a month. You can. But it's a heart issue. All of this is heart issue. It's not just do this. So let's look at these. Here's from Easton's dictionary. Every Jew was required by Levitical law to pay three tithes of his property. One tithe for the Levites, one for the use of the temple and great feasts, one for the poor of the land. Now these definitions kind of differ a little bit. Yes?
Why are they giving the tithes to the Levites? What is so important about the Levites?
Okay, the Levites, God had Moses build a tabernacle in the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus. It had the Ark of the Covenant. That's where God met with them. And only the high priest could go in there once a year. And so the people donated willingly of all the spoils that they took out of Egypt. And God even caused that to happen. And so then their skilled craftsmen built this thing, and this was where God was going to meet with them. And so somebody had to take care of offering up the sacrifices, and God set aside the family of Levi. Moses was a vet, his brother Aaron. And so the Aaronic priesthood, that's what it means, just from the lineage of Aaron, they were, somebody from that group was always a high priest. The Levites helped, and they also set up the tabernacle. The priests had to do certain things. The Levites weren't allowed to do certain things in there. But theirs was a ministry of service to the children of Israel, because they had to set up all these posts and the curtains and the bases of the posts were like a talent roughly 73-75 pounds. Well, each one had, and so these Levites were the ones who did all the setting up, doing all this stuff. And when the children of Israel went into the promised land, all the other tribes, they kind of surveyed off a section, okay, this is for the tribe of Judah, and then they broke it apart. And each family got so much property. Levites got nothing. Because God was going to support them through the tithe. And because they were his ministers. They were serving the children of Israel, but they were serving the Lord. And So this was their means of being able to feed their families, and it wasn't a get-rich-quick scheme. As you can see from some of the scriptures, there are times when people didn't pay tithes, and so Levites didn't have anything. Whereas the people still had all their property, their crops, and so it was a vital thing for the Levites to get the tithes coming in.
Okay, because we looked up what Levites meant, and I was like, oh, okay, but then I didn't exactly understand.
I wasn't sure that they were.
Yeah, they, because Moses' family was of the tribe of Levi. And Levi was one of the 12 sons of the children of Israel, or of Israel, of Jacob. And so it kind of went from there. So you feel good about that?
I just don't really know like the ancestry of the Bible yet.
Yeah, yeah.
So usually I got to ask questions, but yeah. That makes sense.
Okay.
Thank you.
No problem.
You cleared up mine?
Okay. Now some of these encyclopedias have a little different idea about the second and third type. So I'm just reading, just showing that I'm not 100% sure which way it went, but that even these guys see that there was more than one tithe taking place. So this is from Wycliffe, and the Pentateuch legislation as to tithes was as follows. In Leviticus 27:30, one-tenth of all produce, crops, fruit, oil, wine, all the animals was to be devoted to the Lord. The tithe of the produce of land could be redeemed if one-fifth of its value was added. The animal tithe was not redeemable. The increase of the herd was counted, and every tenth animal was reckoned holy to the Lord. This was in keeping with the pre-Sinaitic instruction to Israel that the firstlings of the flock belonged to the Lord. Any attempt to replace a good with a bad was punishable by the forfeit of both. Whoever passes under the rod was assigned to the Levites to do with as they pleased, since they had received no land. Out of this tithe, the Levites paid a tithe or heave offering. This had to be brought to the temple. Okay, then point two, in Deuteronomy 12, the festival tithe was one-tenth of the nine-tenths that remained. It had to be set apart and taken to Jerusalem. There it was eaten as a sacred meal by the offerer and his household, together with the Levite within his gates. And if the distance was prohibitive, the tithes could be sold and money used for purchase of food or animals for offerings in Jerusalem. The third one, Deuteronomy 26:12, the triennial or charity tithe given during the third year was for the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. Opinions differ regarding this third tithe. According to Josephus, it was actually a third tithe offered every third year, in which priests and Levites were obliged to participate. Others state that every third year, the second or the festival tithe was given to the poor at home instead of being taken to Jerusalem. Payment of tithes was not forced. It was a matter of conscience before the Lord. The people were to perform these ordinances with all their heart and soul. Deuteronomy 26:16. Every third year, a solemn declaration was to be made on the last day of the Passover. I have done according to all that you have commanded me. Here's Adam Clark. Deuteronomy 14:22. Thou shalt truly tithe, meaning the second tithe, which themselves were to eat. Verse 23. For there was a first tithe that was given to Levites, out of which they paid a tenth part to the priests. Then of that which remained, the owners separated a second tithe, which they ate before the Lord the first and second year. And in the third year, it was given to the Levites and to the poor. In the fourth and fifth years, it was again eaten by the owners, and in the sixth year, it was given to the poor. The seventh year was a Sabbath to the land, then all things were common. So that's a couple commentaries just kind of give you an idea that Because if you read the verses that the tithes were to go to Levites, and then you're reading it says, well, they're eating their tithe at home. It's like, they're not supposed to do that. That's what kept going through my mind. It's like, well, wait a minute. That's not right. Because it went to the Levites. How come they're able to eat it? And I just didn't know until I actually just started studying it and following up on it that, hey, all right, I see that. There's more than one tithe. Verses about this, the second tithe is Deuteronomy 12:5. I'm not going to necessarily turn to these because if you look through these, you will see that it says you're going to eat with this person or you're going to eat it with your family. Again, the main tithe always went to Levites. So if it talks about eating with somebody else, it's either the second or the third tithe. And as you can follow these scriptures on your own and get a better idea. Deuteronomy 12:17. That's still the second tithe. Eaten in the place of the Lord's choosing. And then Deuteronomy 14:22, you've got that, and it says you and your household at the end of that verse, and the Levite that's within your gates, don't forsake him. It's still the second tithe. It could be converted into cash, purchase items when they arrived at the place the Lord had chosen. Family, servants, and Levites were partakers. The third tithe is Deuteronomy 14:28. At the end of 3 years, you'll bring a tithe of your increase and lay it up in the gates. This took place within the gates at home, not at the tabernacle. It was shared with a stranger, fatherless widow, and the Levites. And then Deuteronomy 26:12. You guys didn't want me reading all these verses, did you? Well, because a lot of it sounds similar when you've got this, and this, and then it talks about the tithe and who eats it. So they're not really hard to break apart and look at and read on your own. I just felt it'd be a little repetitive because it's just, I'm trying to just validate that there's more than one tithe. The third tithe, Deuteronomy 26:12, every third year at home, stranger, fatherless, widow, and Levites. Now, I do want to look at the New Testament scriptures regarding tithing. In Matthew 23:23, it says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! You pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have omitted the weightier matters of law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you to have done and not to leave the other undone. Luke 11:42 basically says the same thing. And people will have told me, see, Jesus was saying, hey, we don't have a tithe anymore. It's like, well, wait a minute. How are you reading in that scripture? He says they were paying tithes of all this. And he said, now you've forgotten about judgment, mercy, and faith. You need to do these, but don't leave the other undone. So he's saying, add these things to what you're doing. Have some mercy, have some judgment, have some faith, but keep tithing. That's what he's saying. He reproved them for forgetting about those things. Again, they got legalistic, kind of like the Pharisee that's praying and says, God, I thank you that I'm not like this man. I tithe of all my goods. I fast twice a week. And he's just a self-righteous boor. But just because he mentioned tithing doesn't mean it's wrong. He just had the wrong attitude. He was using it to try to make himself feel good before God. And that's where the heart attitude thing comes in, is that if God gave me 100%, and he's wanting 10% of it back. Like, well, he gave me the 100%, so why shouldn't get here? All right. And still the rest of it is his. And that's why we need to be just careful with our heart attitudes towards the world. It doesn't mean you can't buy a car and have a decent car. It doesn't mean you can't go on vacation. It doesn't mean you can't have a few extra toys. You just have to watch the toys.
If I can add in, maybe like just like for me, I always try to check my ego. Because usually that's what, if you have a big ego about something, you think you're more righteous than somebody else.
Yeah.
If you can watch for your ego and realize when you're doing something out of egotistical ways, you can, it's easier to realize
you're
not doing something the way God intended.
Yep. And he works that out of us, because all of us have pride in somewhere or another. And sometimes it comes out in sneaky ways in our lives. We don't think we are, and we really are. But, so he just wants you to know in your heart who is really in control. Him or us. And there's many Christians who own many things. There's some Christians who are poor as church mice. Both of them can be extremely happy and content with what they have. And so the thing we got to watch for is the American dream and goal of I want to attain this. The scripture says, godliness with contentment is great gain. So, first of all, if I'm walking with him, he's taking care of me. If I don't have as much as somebody else, that's okay. It doesn't diminish your standing in the Lord. It doesn't diminish who you are. And it shouldn't diminish your self-esteem, again, because that should be placed in who we are in Christ. I have no problem telling people, well, now I'm maintenance, but I used to chase dust bunnies for a living as a janitor. Some people look down on that. I have no problem with it. They can look down all they want to. I know who I am in Christ. I'm one of his kids, and being a janitor, just putting bread and butter on the table. That's not my real life. That's just supporting me to be able to do what God wants me to do. And I can find contentment in that, and I can find blessing in it, and I can see God take me up where I'm not necessarily just living paycheck to paycheck, but where's my heart in that? And I think we do a better rise if our heart gets straightened out way back here when we have nothing, and we keep that heart, because then those things don't become idols in our lives. So Jesus didn't stop fasting. And there's that scripture, Luke 18:12. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes. He was trying to establish his own righteousness. Tithing will not establish your righteousness. Just because people abuse the truth doesn't make it the truth any different. The distortion is in their hearts. I'm not going to quite make it through this. It goes. And see, and you guys didn't even ask a lot of questions today or anything. 1 Corinthians 9:11. I won't read the scripture. I'm going to read my bullets underneath it. Paul tells the Corinthians that others are using their authority, their power, to be partakers of their material goods. Paul says that he and those with him have an even greater right to be partakers, but he has purposed not to do so. The word authority is exousia. It's kind of like the policeman. The badge is his exousia. The gun is his dunamis. That's his power. This is the authority that Paul had, authority from God to be able to receive ministry from their goods. And Paul uses the example of those who wait on the altar as being partakers of the altar. That's what the Levites and the priests did, because they worked at, they were able to partake of the sacrifices. Certain parts went for them and their sustenance above and beyond the tithe. So then the last verse in this 1 Corinthians 9:11-14 says, even so has the Lord ordained, commanded, gave orders, instructions, that those who preach the gospel should live of the gospel. He's using an Old Testament analogy and saying that even as the Lord commanded or arranged now. There's a validity to tithing, because what was taking place back then was people were paying the tithe. The Levites and priests were able to partake of it. And he says, so the Lord has ordained that those who preach the gospel should live of the gospel. Well, somebody's got to be giving something. How does Kirk get his paycheck? It's because people are giving. And I'm sure Kirk himself is giving a tenth of his, and I got the feeling more, just because I know the family. I don't know their finances. I'm just stating that. I just believe I know their heart. They are a very giving family. You can read the summary on your own. I'm going to touch real quick, because it's just saying everything I just said, but just condensed version. Practical examples on page 53. If you earn $100 gross, you'd give $10 for, because again, I'm just trying to clarify, not put anybody on the spot, but, for a tithe. The tithe is paid from the gross, not from the net. In the Old Testament, they gave God the best. Let's say you purchase a car for $3,000, keep it for a while without putting any money into it other than just regular upkeep. You sell a car for $2,500. You get that money. Do you tithe on it? No, it's not an increase. I paid $3,000 for that car, just had it short time, sold it, and I actually lost $500. It wasn't an increase. Okay, same circumstances, except you sell the vehicle for $4,000. The increase is $1,000, so your tithe would be $100. You're not tithing on the $3,000 because the $3,000, again, I'm speaking in a perfect world, you already tithed on that. So that money's already been tithed on. You purchased the vehicle. If you lost money selling it, yeah, you're getting cash, but you didn't increase. But if you do increase, then you tithe on just the increase. If you sold a car, if you purchased a car for $1,000 and you put $1,000 worth of parts on it, sold it for $2,000, I wouldn't feel inclined that I'm paying a tithe, because I've got that value in it. And if I'd been tithing all along, the money I put into it was already tithed on. If you have money in a savings account, CD, or some other type of account that pays interest, what do you pay your tithe on? Only the increase. If your money increased by $400 this year and it was all interest, then you'd only tithe on the $400. You don't have to keep tithing on the whole amount you have in savings every year. Just the increase.
What about taxes?
Taxes, if you've been paying a tithe on your gross, you've already paid tithe on that. No, you don't have to. I mean, it's not a mandatory thing. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
the money that you would be getting before they take out your tax.
I'm not seeing where the increase. Where's that at?
Okay, like if you buy a car for $1,000 and you sell it, let's say for $2,000, and you didn't really do anything to it, you just found somebody to buy it for $1,000 more than you paid for it. That's a $1,000 increase for you.
You made $1,000.
I mean, like, where was this?
Oh, 53, page 53.
Because okay. We've just always done net and then tithe or taxes.
Okay. Yeah, the tithe in the Old Testament was 10% of the gross, is what it was. And then that way, with the taxes, they're taking it out and then they're giving you some back. Well, you've already tithed on it. That would be free and clear for you to spend is how you...
The Old Testament time they tithed on their gross.
Yeah.
And then they still had to pay taxes and
yeah.
Do whatever. Okay.
Yeah. Yep. Any other questions? Okay.
Do you think we're bound to the 10%? Do you think it's a guide, right?
No. I mean, I believe it to be a minimum.
Right. Yeah, after I talked to probably the same person you talked to, I kind of started looking it up, and I was shocked to see that in the New Testament it doesn't say 10%, but what I got out of it is it's a heart, but we should have that heart to give. If we could give 50%, 60%, so, I mean, I can't right now, but, you know, it kind of made me want to give more, I guess. So I kind of saw that 10% as a guide.
What does the word tithe mean?
Tenth.
Tenth. Yeah. That's the, you know, if you say it in the New Testament,
yeah,
give
true.
Tithe, that automatically infers the 10%. So.
Yeah. And see, I see it says tithes and offerings, so offerings go above and beyond that. And then again, that's all between you and the Lord on what you have and what you're wanting to do. Because again, as you set your heart, and if you say, Lord, you know, I see people giving and helping, and we're just living paycheck to paycheck, but I want to become a giver. You can start small within a realistic thing. You will look at that and go, man, that's not a whole lot. God is able to take our little and begin to build, but he's building something within our hearts first that we have an ability. If we got a tremendous amount of money, it wouldn't be like, oh, look what I can do. No, it'd be like, okay, Lord, how do you want this spent? What should I do with this? How do you want to go about this? And that's why a lot of these people that say, oh, if I won the lottery, I'd do this and this. If they're not handling their finances right now, they're going to be just like the others, broke in 5 years.
Yeah.
So that's the way a lot of the lottery winners are, 5 years.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear some. You know, there was a show on one time a couple years ago about lottery winners, and they were like poor and depressed and have, you know, all these issues.